Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to Homecoming at New Dublin Presbyterian Church. Whether you're here or joining us online, we're glad that you're here. And we welcome and thank the New River Community Chorus for doing the bulk of leading us in worship this morning. We're glad that you're here too, very much. Thank you all. Secondly, you are invited to a potluck immediately following the worship service downstairs. And whether you brought anything or not, we hope you'll join us. There's always more food than you can shake a stick at. So don't worry about that, but we'd love for you to be there. We rejoice with Tori and Dylan and Allie in the birth of their son, Kip. And with the proud grandparents and great-grandparents, can't wait to meet him one of these days when he is old enough. We're very, 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 very happy for you all. Next Sunday is special in a few ways. First of all, we're not having a potluck next Sunday because we just had one today. Second, it will be at 11 o'clock. We are going back to the 11 o'clock meeting time. Sunday school at 10 o'clock, worship at 11 o'clock, starting August the 1st. And also August the 1st, we will be discontinuing the rest of our coronavirus precautions. We will start passing the plate for the offering again, and at this point, that's pretty much all we do. So that will resume next Sunday as well. And we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we will be baptizing Charlotte Claffey. So it's going to be a big, big Sunday, and we hope that you come at 11 o'clock. Or you can come and join us for Sunday school if you show up at 10. Finally, there are, in most pews, there are little fellowship pads. There we go. That we do ask whether you're a member or not to sign. It helps immensely with a vast number of things, including keeping up with changes to your contact information, knowing roughly how many people show up to Sunday for printing bulletins and preparing communion and all those things. And it gives you a chance to tell us anything you want to tell us. So please do fill those out, and we will collect them after the service. And if you don't, you're in a pew without them, mostly they're back here where they're not, I think, just pass it over the divider here, and we should be covered. Is there anything else that needs to come to our attention this morning? Then let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Please rise as you are able and join me in the call to worship. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Let us pray. Lord our God, we give you thanks for the great privilege it is to join in worship with the rest of your church and with the angels and the archangels in heaven, and pray that you would grant us focused minds and steady hearts, undistracted by the concerns of the world, so that our worship might be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn is number 485 in the blue hymnal. Bible says that when we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and do not practice the truth. But when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in penitence and in confidence, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, you pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. We humbly confess our sins and ask your mercy. We have not loved you with a pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not done justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with you, our God. Have mercy on us, O God. In your loving kindness, in your great compassion, cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Do not cast us from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and sustain us with your bountiful spirit, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. May be seated, and as we move into our next time of music, I would call your attention to the instructions in the bulletin about when the congregation sings and what verses they sing.
Thank you.
42, omitting verse 3. To hear the scriptures read and proclaimed, let us pray. Lord our God, we give you thanks for these words that you have caused to be handed down to us. And we pray that by your Spirit you would enliven them so that they speak your word to us today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is from Psalm 145, verses 3 to 13. Hear the word of the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous words I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and has compassion over everything that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. This is the word of the Lord. On days like today, really good days like today, when we all come home, I think we have two major temptations for the way we think about church. On days like today, when we see people we haven't seen for a long time and remember how it used to be back then, when we look around and notice everything that's changed and everything that stayed the same, I think we have two temptations. And the first one is nostalgia, seeing the church like a kind of living museum, still here in the present, but with its real life, real vitality in the past. It's possible to see the church this way, even if you're here every Sunday. It's possible to see the church this way if you haven't been here since you were a child. Back then, we think, in the glory days, that's where the church's identity really lies. That's when we really knew how to be a church. That's when we were at the top of our game. And all we have to do now is keep things as close as possible to the way they were back then, and we'll be fine. Look, don't touch. Enjoy, but carefully. A museum. But that's not the church the Lord has given us. The other temptation, I think, is to want the church to be absolutely brand new. No traditions, no history, no past. Not your parents' church, but a church for today, a relevant church, a church whose habits and cultures are exactly like mine, a church without peer pressure from dead people, as I once heard tradition described, a church that lives in an eternal today, without a yesterday and maybe without a tomorrow. As appealing as that church might be in some ways, that's not the church the Lord has given us either. We don't have a museum, and we don't have a church without a history. We have a church that's alive in the present, very much alive in the present, but also has a history that's worth remembering, worth honoring. It turns out maybe the dead people have some useful lessons for us here in the present. And that's good news, because it's given us a chance to live in our own lives what the psalmist sings about in the reading today. One generation tells another about God's kingdom, God's mighty acts, sings of his goodness. And that telling doesn't just go one way, from older to younger, recalling the glory of the good old days. And it doesn't go the other way either, alone, just younger people telling older people what things are like these days. In the end, even though we're thankful, very thankful, for the history and the present that the Lord has given us, today isn't about us. It isn't about New Dublin. We're not oriented to that past or to that present or even towards the future. We're oriented towards the praise of the living God, from whom alone we derive our life and purpose. And his greatness, the scripture says, no one can fathom. As those of you who like to sail boats know, to fathom non-metaphorically means to measure how much water is underneath your boat. That can't be done, it says, with the depths of God. It's always in over our heads. which means that no one person or no one generation, whether it's an older generation or a younger generation, knows everything there is to know about God. But each person and each generation does know something about God, something maybe the others don't know yet. And certainly, every person in every generation is mistaken or disproportionate about something about God. So to be able to speak truthfully about what God has done, what God's kingdom is like, as much as we can with those fathomless depths below us, we need each generation to speak to the others, older generations to younger generations to older generations, because we haven't ever exactly captured it in the past, and we haven't exactly captured it now, and because of those depths of God, we probably won't exactly capture it in the future. But it's the holy joy of our lives to keep at it and to rejoice over each new facet that we find. And to do that, to do even a little of it, we need each other. We need the stories of each life at different times and at different situations. What have you learned of God? The psalmist tells us what they discovered. It's what we discover too in different ways in the uniqueness of our different lives. The Lord is gracious and slow to anger and rich in love, and he has compassion over all that he's made. Almost certainly, we learn this truth in a different way than the psalmist did. We learn it in a different way than our parents did. We learn it in a different way than our children have and will. But throughout all the ages, it hasn't changed. God's kingdom, as the psalm says, is an everlasting kingdom. It's not a moving target. It's just really big. We'll run out of rope before we run out of depth. When we gather again for homecoming this year, and Lord willing next year and the year after, when we come back from the places we've been scattered, that's why. Not for nostalgia's sake, not because once a year we get bored with the way things always are and want to shake it up, but to honor the God that we only can really know together, so that one generation can tell another that the Lord is gracious and slow to anger and good to all. So to the God of all grace, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish far more than we could ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please join me, rise as you are able, and join me in the affirmation of faith, which is in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. See you. I'm good at losing pens, but I thought I couldn't possibly have lost it that fast. We have come to the time in our worship where we pray for each other and for the world. We pray for Doris, who is still struggling with fluid, for Jim as he continues to recover from his surgeries. Rementa has asked us to pray for her son, Wesley, who is still struggling with the health of his feet. And we pray for Kip and for Tori and for Dylan as they adjust to their new life together. Who else should we be praying for this morning? We will pray for Barry and for his wife as well.
Diane.
Okay. So we will pray for Barry and for Diane. We will pray for Anne. We'll pray for Shirley. Seeing no others, let us go to our God in prayer. Lord our God, we give you thanks that you have invited us to pray for our concerns and for the world, and that nothing is too small for you to care about. And we thank you that when we are overwhelmed and do not know how we ought to pray or what we ought to pray for, that your Spirit prays with us in sighs too deep for words, and you who search our inmost being know what the Spirit means. We give you thanks this morning for the opportunity to celebrate homecoming after a year where we were not able. We thank you for all these people, for the faithfulness that you have shown New Dublin through good times and hard times. And we pray that you would continue to guide us and guard us and walk with us as we move into the future that you have in mind. And we give you thanks for the church in all the world, that in no time or place have you left yourself without a witness. We pray for the church where it suffers under persecution. We ask that you would give them courage and strength, that as it has always been, the blood of the martyrs would be the seed of the church. And we pray that when it is good, you would give them peace and favor in the eyes of their governments. And Lord, we pray for the church in places where it is all too easy to be the church, where the danger is not persecution, but complacency. That here too you would be our Lord and guard us from danger. That you would wake us up and cause us to watch with Christ. And we pray for the world that you created and sustain with your love, for the places that suffer from war or the rumor of war, that you would grant them a just and honorable peace,
We pray for places affected by natural disaster as they seem to grow more and more common, though not less deadly. We ask that you would grant quick rebuilding and healing in those places, that you would comfort those who have lost much and restore to them what they have lost. And we pray for all the leaders of the world, but especially our leaders here in the United States, as you have commanded us, for our president, for our governor, for all those who make and enforce our laws, that you would grant them a love of their people, a love of justice, that you would grant them wisdom, that you would keep them from ruling for their own selfish benefit or partisan politics, but rather for the good of all. And finally, we pray for those dearest to us. We pray for Doris and Jim and Wesley and Raminta, for Kip and Tori and Dylan, for Barry and Diane, for Anne and for Shirley, and for those whom we name before you now in the silence of our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you heal those who are sick in mind or in body, that you accompany those who are lonely, that you stay with the dying and lead them to their eternal home, that you comfort the grieving and the bereaved. And we ask that in all lives you work wonders beyond all we could ask or think. We pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Before we have the benediction, let's do a quick prayer for our food. Lord, we give you thanks for all the people who have come together to prepare the meal that is downstairs. And we pray that the time there would strengthen our love for each other and our bonds of fellowship. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hope to see you downstairs.